So we talked about the primary types. Now we're going to look at the secondary types. So here's the shape that depicts the secondary types. This is a hexad, a winged hexad. I know that's a kind of a big word, but seven-pointed shape. And it is functions a little bit differently than the primary types. So if you just look at some of these connectors, I want you to look at the 8 and the 2. The challenger and the helper. What do you notice about these two, the 8 and the 2? Well, one of the first things you would notice is that they're almost opposites in a very key dimension, right? One would be classically masculine, the other would be classically more feminine. And what this means is that they actually are there for balance. So the secondary types, unlike the primary types, which it's not so much about balance and opposites, the secondary types tends to be a bit more about opposites. And so what that means is you use your connecting lines to help balance you out. You'll also notice that in the case of the secondary types, one of your wings will always be in a different center of intelligence. And what that means is it dilutes your distortions around your centers. And that means that you actually move a little bit more easily. You're more mobile. You grow a little bit more easily. The primary types have a tendency to be a little bit more entrenched, whereas the secondary types can move on the Enneagram a little more easily. So the 8 becomes more high functioning, and high functioning is defined as the ability to access internal resources to get more of what you want. And low functioning is defined as the inability to access your resources, the lack of awareness, the lack of light, so that you don't get more of what you want. So the 8 becomes more high functioning when it integrates, when she learns to integrate the 2 part of her, that more compassionate, soft, nurturing side of her that she needs in order to function higher. You'll notice also that the 8 and the 5 are connected. These are opposites in a very specific way, and that the 5 has a relationship to action that's a bit like this. Ready, aim, 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 and then go ahead and aim some more, and then let's have a discussion. Maybe we'll do some research around the aiming, and then after that, finally, we can actually really, truly aim. You get the point. The gap between impulse and action is like somewhere between 6 and 8 months for a 5, all right? Whereas the 8, it goes like this. Ready, fire. Now, was there some aiming we were supposed to do? I can't remember. There's sort of like an impulse, and then, oh yeah, I guess I was supposed to think about that. There's very little reflection. The gap is almost reversed. And so when the 8 learns to integrate the 5's strategic thinking abilities, they can actually pause long enough to deploy their incredible nuclear arsenal of power in the world. So Martin Luther King Jr. is an example of a really high-functioning 8. You notice that Martin Luther King had the full access to the compassion of the 2 to care for and express his power nonviolently in the world. He had the 8 in that he took on systemic racism and injustice. Amazing thing to take on, a huge personal power to do that. And he had the 5 in that he was highly strategic. He didn't just shoot off his mouth everywhere he thought. He made sure everything was planned just right. He made sure that the right governor with the right racist attitude would be visually depicted in just the right way so that he would plan a march, make sure the media cameras were there to make sure that they were confronted so that he could show the world what the injustice looked like. That was strategic, not ballistic. And that's what the high-functioning 8 gets. So that's just an example, right? And I won't go through all of them in all the same details. You can read about these. But the idea is that's how this stuff functions. You can see the 7 and the 1. You know, imagine a 1, the perfectionist, and the 7 in a budget meeting. How would they relate to this? Well, the 1 would be like, well, let's just get down to work. We should be done in the next 6 to 7 hours of completing this and doing this just right. Whereas the 7 would be like, oh my gosh, please don't make me do this. This is the worst thing that ever happened to me. Let's go to a bar and talk about it there. Let's go get a meal and we can talk about it there. And does it really matter that much? And can we just go? That's what starts to happen. But you can see how these two heal one another, balance one another. What happens when the 7 integrates that capacity for due diligence that the 1 has? What happens to the 1 when he actually begins to take vacations the way a 7 might? Becomes luxurious and savoring and free-spirited. There is a balance there. You can see that balancing. The 2, when it connects to the 4, you can see how actually a 2 who's so out of touch with their own heart, when they learn to reconnect to their heart, they can actually take care of their own needs. And when the 4 connects to the 2, they actually begin to open up their heart to others and connect to others. So there you go. you're just getting a little bit of a picture of how these things move together and how they don't. You can see how each type, when you have a different wing or a different kind of emphasis. So I might be a two with a four wing. That's going to be a very different kind of, I'm sorry, a two with a one wing. That'll be a very different kind of two than a two with a three wing. A seven with an eight wing versus a seven with a six wing. Those are two very different kinds of personality types. How your connections are linked. You can see the dynamism. You can see the difference in the distinction. So in the next video, I'm going to walk you through just a few key examples of the types, public figures, to help you get a feel for how to start assessing people.